Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The word of God we consider today is the gospel from Mark. It is said the only thing needed for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Herod Philip, Tetrarch of Galilee, was a conflicted man. He had a hard time deciding between truth and power. He had just been informed about a certain itinerant preacher named Jesus. Who was this young man? There were all kinds of theories floating around. John the Baptist, Elijah, a prophet. But Herod had already settled on one particular theory. This is John the Baptist. He's come back to haunt me. Herod's conscience was troubled. He didn't really want to kill John, but he felt he had no other choice. He didn't have the courage to let him live. This territorial prince had heard John speak about baptism and repentance, about the kingdom of God come among them, about the one who is coming after them, the mighty one. It was all rather confusing to Herod. He didn't know quite what to make of John, but he liked him. John had a ring of authenticity about him. After all, look at the way he lived. A true ascetic, living out in the wilderness by himself, eating locusts and wild honey. And the way he dressed, he looked like a prophet. Herod knew that John was indeed a righteous and holy man. He also knew that John spoke the truth. In fact, too much truth for his own good. Because John, in true prophetic fashion, called the people of God to repent, to return to the Lord, turn away from sin. The common people, as well as the religious leaders and those in high places. So John made no secret about the king's own sins. You shouldn't be with Herodias, your brother's wife, while your brother still lives. That's not allowed, Herod. Herod was supposed to be a Jewish leader, but apparently he had no regard for Jewish law. God's law clearly prohibited such a marriage, and Herodias knew that, and Herod knew that. And as uncomfortable as this was for Herod himself, his illegitimate wife Herodias was all the more furious that John was talking about their sins. So she wanted to silence him. Off with his head. That was her desire. Kill him. That'll shut him up. But that wasn't to be. Herod was afraid of John. John was a popular figure. Politicians need to have the support of their people. You can't just kill this guy. But more than that, if John really was a righteous, holy man, or even a prophet, it would probably be bad luck, at least, to kill him. So Herod made a deal. Honey, why don't we compromise on this one? I won't kill him, but I'll throw him in the dungeon. That should keep him quiet. That should suppress the truth about our illegitimate love. Well, Herodias agreed to this. She had no choice, really, but she wasn't satisfied yet. She wouldn't be satisfied until John was dead. And so she started scheming, and she got an idea, an awful idea. Herodias got a wonderful, awful idea. I know just what I'll do, she hissed. She knew her husband's birthday was coming up, and that he would throw a big extravagant party, and that he would invite all the king's horses and all the king's men, all of the leading people of the region. I'll get hubby all boozed up, and then I'll have my teenage daughter dress up in a skimpy outfit and do a dance. I'll use her to get my husband to do what I want. He wouldn't dare break a promise that he makes in front of his guests. So the day of the party came. She told her daughter, Salome, to do her provocative dance in front of her stepfather and his guests. Sure enough, Herod and the boys so enjoyed this sexy dance that Herod couldn't help but show off his generosity. "Go ahead, ask me for whatever you want, and I'll give it to you, I promise. Up to half my kingdom. The sky's the limit, gold, jewels, maybe a big penthouse in the palace or a government position. I could ask for anything." But Salome was a young woman, unmarried, and still heavily influenced by her mother. So she went to Mom and asked her, "What should I ask for?" And you can imagine Herodias' lips curling up into a devilish smile. "Bring me John's head." And then Salome added her own little flair to the request. "Oh, well, it's a dinner party, right? Might as well serve it up on a silver platter." So that's what she asked for. And you can imagine Herod's reaction to this, his heart sinking, because he didn't want to kill John, but he didn't want to break his promise to his party guests either. And so he found himself in a pickle. Kill John the Baptist and face what could be the wrath of God, or let John live and disappoint his guests, lose some popularity points. Well, we know what he chose. Reluctantly, he gave the order, off with his head. Herodias finally had what she wanted. John was going to publicly shame them in front of everybody. Well, we'll publicly shame him by killing him in front of everyone. So the deed was done. And then John's disciples came and they asked for the body, and it was granted to them. "Go ahead, take the body for all I care, bury it along with the truth, because neither one will ever come to light now." And then at the end of the story, we say, "The Gospel of the Lord." It's one of those ones that you scratch your head. Why does Mark tell us this story in such grim detail? Well, there's a few important things to take out of this text. One thing is that the truth is dangerous. All of the truth is dangerous, not just the good news about Jesus Christ. When we think about martyrs, we usually think about somebody who died heroically, refusing to deny Jesus Christ as their Lord. And then when we look at ourselves, we tend to think, "Wow, I'm not that courageous or heroic. My faith is not that strong." But then look at John. What a mundane martyrdom. What a weird way for a martyr to die. You know, he wasn't held at gunpoint and told that he has to deny Jesus. He wasn't killed for preaching about baptism. He wasn't killed for even calling religious leaders to repent. He was killed because he preached against the illegitimate marriage of a petty territorial ruler. Now, Herod may not have had it out for John personally. Mark says he gladly heard the truth, but then he didn't have the courage to stand up for it. He sold out. And that's what we're tempted to do. We admire God's word, we appreciate and we study his instruction, but then when it speaks something against us, we cut that part out. We lay it out on a silver platter and set it aside, just like Herod. We rank certain parts of God's word less important. Why should God care who I marry? Or why should God care who I sleep with? Why should God care about my private thoughts? Why should God care about how I spend my money? Maybe thoughts that we have. And we sell out because in order to stand up for the truth, we would have to actually admit that we were wrong. And we would have to amend our sinful lives. Friends, don't sell out. Because all of truth is God's truth. All truth is important. All that is true and all that is in God's word is worthy of life and death. We're all mundane martyrs, in a sense, because we're all persecuted. Each and every day, Satan persecutes us. The world and Satan try to get us to let go of the truth and to sell out. One little piece at a time. You know, it's not going to be something big, probably. I would be surprised if any of us is ever threatened and told you have to give up your faith in Christ. It'll be something small. But look where something little leads. It starts out little and it leads to somebody's head on a platter. Evil is never satisfied with one little sinful act. It starts there, but it desires to own and possess our entire being. The evil one gets his foot in the door by telling us to give up one little bit of God's word. Did God really say that you can't eat of the trees in the garden? Look where that led. Repentance is definitely the harder path, but this is exactly what John the Baptist and then Jesus himself call us to. And it doesn't matter if you're a peasant or a king, a pastor or a layperson, a teenager or a grandma, the call to repentance applies to all of us. It's natural for us to scheme and try to get out of that, just like Herodias did. How can we silence the truth? How can we avoid the need to repent and change our lives? But that's a road that leads to destruction. Baptism, on the other hand, calls us to daily repentance. That road leads to forgiveness and renewal and eternal life. Truth will always be met with opposition, whether it's the truth about who's allowed to marry who or the truth about Jesus Christ being the only way to heaven. Such constant opposition, objection, and outright persecution can become tiring. We get sick of it. We find ourselves crying out like the martyrs under the altar from that reading in Revelation. How long, O sovereign Lord, how long until we're vindicated? Where is justice? How long is Herod going to get away with all of his wicked deeds? And then we look at the world around us, the horrors of abortion, all the stuff in the news recently about the harvesting of unborn children's organs. We look at the violence against Christians around the globe. Some of you were here when Bishop Omolo visited us from Kenya, and he told us that in his country, Islamic militants will come into a school, and they'll ask each child individually, "Are you a Christian?" And if they respond yes, they'll be shot and killed immediately. We look at all this and we ask God, how long is this going to go on? How long will you let evil go unchecked? But we know that our vindication will come because we have been baptized by that one greater than John, the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. We have received the Holy Spirit. We have been decisively claimed by the one who is himself the way, the truth, and the life. And we have died and we have risen with Christ in baptism. Those who oppose him will be baptized with fire in the end. Herod thought that Jesus was John risen from the dead. John is not raised from the dead yet, but one day he will be, along with all of us, all of the faithful. Will be raised to eternal life. And John was feared by Herod. Herod was afraid of the possibility of a John who had come back from the dead. Well, we know the truth, that one day a risen Jesus will come back, and he'll give Herod more trouble than a risen John ever could have. How long, though? How long until Jesus will come and bring us peace and right all wrongs? And Jesus' response to us is, wait just a little longer. Behold, I'm coming soon. So have no fear, little flock. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise for prayer.